The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
My son is playing in Little League this year. Actually, I have three sons who are in Little League through the Christian Center in Peoria, and my oldest son, Samuel, plays for the St. Louis Cardinals. I just knew some of you would really relish that moment, so you're welcome. But I'm trying to talk to him about, since, you know, part of that is you have to put the Cardinals gear on. He has the Cardinals hat, and it's an official St. Louis Cardinals hat. He has a Cardinals t-shirt. And then he said, you know, Dad, I need a hoodie for when it's cold. So I had to go buy him a Cardinals hoodie. And I had to keep reminding him, you know, that Samuel, you are not a Cardinals fan. You are a Chicago Cubs fan. You're just wearing that for this year. So thank you. There's the other half of the congregation. But Samuel, it's interesting because this is the first year where his team is really competitive and it's actually becoming exciting to watch. And those of you parents who've had kids in baseball or softball, the first few years are kind of painful. I mean, it's just downright painful what you watch. And now the kids are pitching, and you can tell that on the field, everybody's focused, and every player comes ready, and they want to do their best. And it's been interesting, you know, watching the kids on the team really struggle with failure. So the kids will, they get up to bat and they need a run and a kid will strike out. And you can just see it over their face. We watched a game not long ago where one of the pitchers, we were winning and the pitcher couldn't throw a strike on our team. And he was crying. And you see the working through failure. And our coach pulled the team together after the game and he started talking about failure. And, you know, you hear this in baseball many times, like, you know, the average a good batting average is if you can bat over 300. So basically, 7 out of 10 times, you're going to fail at the plate. You're going to strike out, you're going to pop out, you're going to ground out, and that's considered good. And he began to talk to our players, like, which one of you messed up today? Did anybody on the team not mess up? You know, of course, everybody on the team messed up. And the coach was talking about, we're going to fail, and we're going to sometimes fall more than we succeed. That's a lesson that we know very well when it comes to baseball. But I think it's a lesson sometimes that we have a hard time applying to life. Because in life, most of us are our own worst critic. So we tend to look at ourselves and expect that we ought to succeed far more than we fail. And in fact, most of us, many of us, expect that we should bat at about 100% or 95%. And we set expectations so high for ourselves that anything short of that we feel like is a crushing failure and defeat. And I want to invite you to look at a passage in Scripture with me that I think is so helpful because it does remind us that to be human is to fail. To be human is to not be God. To be human is to fall short at times. And I would hope as we look at this passage that we would really find, I guess, that comfort in our limitations, but even the greater grace and comfort in God's sufficiency, in His faithfulness, in His character. I'm going to invite you to look at a very familiar passage. It's Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 27 through 31. For many, this is one of those passages that is worth memorizing. So I suspect that some of you have memorized this, and this passage has deep meaning. And I want us just to really dig in deep in this one passage, the book of Isaiah. Hear the word of the Lord. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. It's the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful that you do speak to us. You speak to us through creation, and you speak to us through your word in a way that we can understand. When we approach your word, we recognize that your word is truth. When rightly understood, rightly interpreted, and applied to our lives, it gives life. It gives hope. So help us to receive these words, this scripture, as more than just writing on a page, as the very truths that we need for life. Thank you that you desire to know us. You desire relationship authentically with each one of us. Thank you that you remember our frame, that we are weak, that we fall short, and yet you have compassion on us and grace and mercy. So, Father, prepare our hearts through your Spirit in the name of Jesus to hear, and more importantly, with our hearts to see what it is you have for us. We'll give you praise in your name. Amen. We face situations in life that test us, situations that show us our limitations. And here in this book of the Bible, in this chapter, Isaiah delivers a word from the Lord to a people who were reeling because of pain and suffering. They were struggling with the impact and the effect of this pain and suffering that was brought about because of their own sins, because of their unwillingness to follow the Lord and to worship Him only. They had ignored God's repeated calls for repentance. They had ignored the prophets that God sent to them to warn them of coming judgment because of their sins. And after years of patience, God allowed the Assyrians to defeat the northern kingdom of Israel. And this resulted in a time of great difficulty that pushed the people to the limits of their strength, to the limits of their physical strength, to the limits of their emotional strength, to the limits of their spiritual strength. This was a stretching time. This was an earth-shattering time for the people of Israel. And here God sends Isaiah to bring a word from the Lord to his people. He sends Isaiah to give the people hope, to challenge them to return to the foundation of their faith. In Isaiah 40, 27 through 31, our passage for today, Isaiah anticipates that the people have lots of questions for God. And he voices those questions, then he reminds them of who the Lord is and what the Lord does. And then he gives them a promise of what God will do for them as they wait on him. And I believe this passage today is just as powerful for us in our times of difficulty as it was for the Israelites many years ago. So we're going to begin by looking at the questions, then we're going to follow Isaiah's thoughts right through this passage. Verse 27 shows us the questions. It says, "Oh Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights?" These are the questions that people asked in Isaiah's day. And these are the same questions that we ask when we face moments that are bigger than us. Moments when the circumstances and emotions and the path forward seem to lead us to questions. And we begin to formalize those questions into thoughts. Why? We can't make sense of everything. My family walked through a time recently, and obviously with the death of my dad. And I actually struggled whether I should even mention that today. But then I thought, I can't help but be authentic. You know, I can't help but be real with you. And also I felt that if I'm going to err, I'd rather err on the side of being vulnerable. Because the human nature would say, pull it in. But walking through difficulty, walking through times that are earth-shattering, our family walked through that when my father of 66 years old passed away May 23rd. After really becoming suddenly ill, we watched him for 38 days fight in the hospital. And it really took all of our strength away, and it really knocked us down. And we're still reeling from that. I remember a distinct moment in the hospital, in one of the hospitals, where these very questions basically came to my mind. God, do you see any of this? Are you watching? Do you see? God, do you even care right now? Do you care about what's going on? That's really these questions that the people of Israel are dealing with here. Is it possible that the Lord can lose sight of me? You know, I mean, the world is big. What is it now? Almost 8 billion people in the world, maybe over, I don't know. There's a lot of people in the world. Can the Lord really, humanly, it seems like it'd be pretty easy for him to lose sight of me. And is it possible that he sees, but, you know, he's the all-powerful creator, but he just doesn't care? I mean, he created, he's got bigger things to worry about. That's exactly what the prophet Isaiah is saying, and he's voicing what the people are understanding and what their emotions, and I mean, after all, interpreting the evidence of what they're going through, it sure seems that these two thoughts would be logical conclusions. God obviously must not see, and he must not care. You know, walking through this and different things, it reminds me that, you know, pastorally, as I serve you in this congregation, that none of us are spared from moments like that in this life. I mean, it's a painful reality, but that we all will or have, it's inevitable, we are going to face moments where we come face to face with our limitations. There are those moments that are bigger than you are. You can't understand them. You don't have the strength to navigate through them. They're moments that really push you and I to the end of our resources when we just don't understand. At the same time, I understand that reality. I hold this truth in tension. God never wastes those moments. I don't understand them. Don't believe he causes them, but he never wastes them. Those moments often become those moments that are life-changing for us. You know, I was amazed throughout my pastoral ministry listening to testimonies, conversion stories of when people really made a decision to follow Jesus, when they responded to the free gift of God's grace in Christ. Not always, but it seems like more often than not, their conversion comes out of a very difficult set of circumstances in their life. When they reach the end of their resources is the very moment that becomes life-changing. In those difficult times, we have to look beyond ourselves. And I really want to shift us into Isaiah's response. Isaiah gives a threefold response to these questions, and that's really where the heart of this message is. And I want to walk you through these because they're a powerful, powerful response, I think, to what is the common human experience when we face difficult times. Verse 28, he says, "Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Isaiah says this. He says, the Lord knows. He sees. So the first question is, did God lose sight of me? Maybe he doesn't see what's going on in my life. Isaiah responds and says, have you never heard? Have you forgotten who God is? He is the Lord. He is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the earth, meaning he is not like you and me. He is separate from creation. He is that first cause of everything. He is eternal, and he never grows weak or weary like we do. Limitations, shortcomings. And Isaiah says, no one can measure his understanding. Where our understanding has limitations, where we are weak and weary, where we are short-sighted, where we are temporary, God is eternal. And Isaiah's point is that the Lord does know, and he does see, and he has no limitation. God is not limited like we are. He knows everything that is going on in all of the world, and he knows every single detail of what is going on in our lives. His knowledge is not limited. His understanding cannot be measured. So Isaiah says, how can we say that God doesn't see? He most certainly does see in our times of uncertainty. Paul in Romans kind of picks up on this theme. Romans 11:33, he says, oh, how great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge. How impossible is it for us to understand his decisions and his ways? For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. The Lord is without limit. His understanding can't be measured. So even when we interpret the evidence of our lives and our emotions when we're having an earth-shattering moment, Isaiah reminds the people of his day, go back to who God is. God sees. His knowledge is without limit. He knows what is going on in every one of our lives. And Isaiah moves on to this second part of his response. He says, the Lord cares. The Lord knows, the Lord cares. Verse 29, he says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. Isaiah makes the point here that it's not just that the Lord, as the all-knowing, eternal creator, sees every detail of what is going on and is limitless in his knowledge and his power. He cares, and he's willing to share his limitless strength. Isn't that incredible that he is self-sufficient? He doesn't need us. He has all the resources in and of himself. He has the power. He has the strength. He has the understanding. And he is strong. But the good news is he's willing to share that with the weak. He gives power to the weak. He gives strength to those that are powerless. Notice the absolute nature of these characteristics. I mean, this is powerless. And again, when we come to the end of ourselves, when we have situations that are far bigger than us, when we have those earth-shattering moments in our life where we don't know what to do, and we know that our strength, we know that our knowledge and our understanding has run out, and we're reeling, in those moments, God is a God who gives power to the weak. And he gives strength to those who have no power. Psalm 147, the psalmist says this, verse 4 through 6, he counts the stars and he calls them all by name. How great is our Lord! His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. The Lord supports the humble, but he brings the wicked down into the dust. He supports those who are humble, who know they have no resource, who know they've reached the end of their limitations. He gives grace. He understands. The Lord knows, the Lord cares. And then the third part of Isaiah's threefold response is this: we must confidently wait and trust in him. We must confidently wait and trust in him. Verse 31, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah here reminds the people that when the foundations have been shaken, there is an opportunity to rebuild those foundations on the solid foundation of faith, of trusting in God, of waiting for him. When doubts arise in the same way, when we have those earth-shattering moments where we're surrounded by doubts, where we can't make sense of everything that's taking place, we too must return to the foundation of trusting in God. Since that's almost cliche, because we hear that, oh, trust in God, I don't think we actually pause sometimes to think about what that means. The key to genuine faith is trusting, confidently relying in God. And I want to give you an illustration of genuine faith, because I think it helps us, because sometimes we don't know what that looks like. And probably one of the best illustrations, because the Apostle Paul uses this illustration in Romans chapter 4, is the life of Abraham, who is considered the father of faith. And if you were to look at chapter 4, you could read the story of how Abraham is used as an example of faith. And I want to share a few verses that you can listen along from Romans 4, 16 through 25, and then summarize the faith of Abraham. Verse 16, Paul says this: so the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you a father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God, who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Abraham gives us this example of faith or trusting in God. I want to explain three core components of biblical faith from Romans chapter 4. The first is this: believe in what God says. Abraham believed God. God spoke, didn't make sense. He didn't know how. When there was no reason to hope, he believed God. Secondly, he committed to do what God requires. And that order is significant and important. Number one, believe what God says. Believe in him and believe what he says. And then secondly, do whatever he shows you to do through his word. Commit to do what he requires. And then the third part of biblical faith, and I think this is the one we often miss, wait confidently for him to fulfill his promises. Wait. Sometimes we're good at saying, yes, I believe in what you say, God. Yes, I'm going to commit to do what you require, but then we become very impatient in our faith because we don't see the answer right away. We don't see the promise fulfilled. And Abraham is an example of a faith that confidently waits on God to fulfill his promises. Even though Abraham couldn't see the full outworking of becoming the father of a great nation, of all those who believe, he couldn't see that in his lifetime fulfilled. He believed and he confidently waited on God to fulfill that promise. Same is true for us. Isaiah here is saying when we face these earth-shattering moments, we have to go back to the foundations of our faith. Our faith is rooted in who God is, in the character of God that he does see, he does know, because he is limitless in his power, limitless in his knowledge. And just as he is all-powerful and all-knowing, God's word tells us that his character also is that he cares for the weak. He is gentle. He is lowly of spirit. He's willing to help. He wants to help. He's a God of self-giving, sacrificing love. We go back to the foundation, which is this is who God is. He sees, he cares. He's all-powerful, but all-loving at the same time. We hold those things together. And then Isaiah says, now wait. Trust him. Trust him. Walk with him. Even though you can't see it, don't have a short-sighted faith that's just name it and claim it and expect. No, God often does his greatest work in years, months and years and decades of our lives, not in moments. That's been one of the biggest potholes in my faith journey. I've expected that I could just come and pray and God would just bypass the normal working of the disciplines and the slow, steady process of learning and growing and walking with the Lord, and he just would instantly make me everything I should be. And there is times that he breaks through, and even Isaiah says that. Sometimes we soar like eagles. And it's fascinating that that passage right there takes us back to the Exodus. Because Israel, in referring to the Exodus, they refer to it as being soaring out of Egypt on wings of an eagle. How miraculously God delivered them. Sometimes it is soaring. We have those moments. Sometimes it's just running. Other times all we can do is just walk without fainting. And it's a slow, difficult walk. And here what Isaiah and what God would remind us of is that in those moments, remember who God is. He knows, he cares. And our part is to confidently wait and trust in him and have a hope in him, a confidence that even though we don't see it, and even if we don't see it for months, and even if we don't see it and understand for years, and maybe like Abraham, even if we don't see and understand in this lifetime, we will one day. God is not a God who fails his promises. God is not a God who goes back on what he says. He is faithful. Paul in 2 Corinthians really powerfully illustrates this. Here in this passage, he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about how for him serving Jesus has brought about the real threat of death in his life. There's people who want to kill him because he serves Jesus. And in fact, he describes this reality, and the phrase he uses is this, that it's like I'm living in the face of death. So Paul's got some pretty bad things going on. But he says, even though I'm living in the face of death, it's all worth it because I want others to know about Jesus. I want others to come to find the hope of Christ and the power that he has to change us and restore us into a right relationship with God. So in verse 13, I want you to hear, just jumping in the middle of that thinking, what Paul has to say. He says, we continue to preach, knowing that we're staring death right in its face. We continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, he's accepting his limitations, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will all be gone soon. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Thankful that Abraham had that kind of faith. His circumstances were impossible. There's no way, the evidence didn't add up, but he had a faith that if God says something, I believe what he says, I'm gonna act in faith. Whatever he wants me to do, I'm gonna align my life to the best of my ability with his will. And then, even if I don't see it for a long time or ever in this life, I'm gonna confidently wait and trust in him. I'm thankful Abraham had that kind of faith. That's the kind of faith that we need. Faith that's a lifestyle, faith that's genuine, that's waiting on God, built on the character of God and God alone. It's a faith that waits on God. It believes who he says he is and what he says. It does what he requires, and it waits and believes and hope for the fulfillment of God's promises. Promise we have from Isaiah, as we do that, God will renew our strength. That word really means is that God will give us new strength. And again, some days it's soaring strength, some days it's running strength, and some days it's just walking, one foot in front of the other. The promise that we have is that God will be with us, that he will guide us, that he will share his limitless resources with us and give us the ability to wait confidently for him. My hope and my prayer today is just that, you know, these things I believe with my whole heart. And I'm struck by that gathering to preach, gathering to share with you, is I really don't want to share if I'm just sharing a sermon. And I reflected on that this morning and just sitting, preparing for today. I really, really believe these things. And I really, really believe that if you would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you would believe in who God is and what he says about himself, what he says in his word, and if you would commit to follow him, I really believe that there's power. No, I don't believe that he's going to make you perfect. And if you've heard that in from a pulpit or in theology, it's going to set you up for a lot of hurt and a lot of frustration in life. But I do believe he'll give you hope. And I do believe he will renew your strength. And I do believe he'll make you new again. And I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in my family. And it's the greatest thing that I desire for my kids, is that they would know and love Jesus and that they would have this hope, this authentic faith. So as we prepare to close, I just want to take a moment to reflect, and then the worship team is going to come. I just want you to kind of think back through the points of this message. For starters, maybe those questions, God, do you see? God, do you care? Just know that if you're there and you're asking those questions, you're not alone. Godly men and women throughout the centuries have wrestled with those very questions. Isaiah gives voice to them. And what he does is he says, have you not heard? Did you forget who God is? Let the Holy Spirit renew your mind to remember that the object of your faith and my faith is not your circumstances. It's really important that we catch that. It's not the church you go to. It's not your religious activity. It's not your health. It's not you. The object of your faith is the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the place. That's the foundation. God would call you back. He would just say, come back. I know you've forgotten. I know that in life we feel like we have to control everything at times. We feel like we have to figure everything out, and God brings us back. I'm God. I didn't create you to be God. Let the Holy Spirit renew that understanding in your heart. Let him remind you that he sees your situation. Do you believe that? That he knows what's going on in your life. He knows every single detail. In his word, if we really believe what God says in his word, he doesn't just know, he cares. He loves you. Sometimes the evidence doesn't point that way. Doesn't feel like he loves you. You feel alone. Are you going to believe that? Or will you believe the word of the Lord? Holy Spirit would invite us to build that foundation again. Our faith is in Christ alone. Our faith is in who God is. And then as you respond to the Holy Spirit, I believe that he would have all of our strength renewed this morning. Would you commit to do what he says in your life? Would you commit to believe in him? That's the first step. To believe in his word, to believe what he says. Then would you commit to do what he requires? And then would you finally commit to have a long faith? A faith that believes when hope isn't, doesn't seem to be possible. A faith that will wait and trust confidently in God. If you do, and if you will, the word of the Lord promises that God will give us new strength. It's a promise. I don't know when it'll show up. Maybe it's this instant. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's next week. Maybe it's a month from now. Maybe it's over the course of the next year. God will fulfill his promise, and he will give you strength. He will renew your strength, and he will renew my strength. You can take it to the bank. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful, as Pastor Matt, I know, just in his prayer time, reminded us again of how great of a father you are, a father unlike any earth father, a father that is in heaven that lacks nothing, a father in heaven that is limitless in his knowledge, limitless in his power, limitless in his goodness, and we're so thankful he's limitless in his love. Father, we thank you that you understand us. You do not ask us to become God. And I just pray that you'd speak peace into any hearts here this morning that sometimes feel like they have to be God, that they have to figure it all out, that they have to, you know, bat 100%, bat 1,000. Would you remind us that we are weak, that we are frail, that we are so limited? And we will be limited in this entire life. There never will be a day that we arrive with limitless knowledge like you. We are not you. And I pray just that awareness of knowing that in those moments that are earth-shattering, those moments that we can't figure it out, where our understanding can't add it all together, you remind us that you do see. You see everything. You see the thoughts that we think. You see the details of our lives, and you see our situation. and that you have understanding that we can't even begin to put together. You have resources that are far beyond us, and you do know, and you do care. Father, would you help us in those moments, even now, to commit to believe in what you say, to believe in who you are. Your character is revealed in your word and all of creation. Help us to believe by faith. And then, Father, would you give us the commitment in our hearts to say whatever your word shows, as you lead, as you reveal your will in my life, I will do what you ask of me with 100% reckless obedience. I will obey you. I will follow you. I will submit to you as Lord. Just as Abraham did, it didn't make sense. But you said go, and he got up and he went. Would you give us that faith? And then don't leave us there. Help us to have a long view, to confidently wait. Because sometimes the promise isn't fulfilled. We don't see the end of the path for months. Sometimes it's not until a few years we look back and see what you were doing in our lives. Sometimes we may live and have questions that remain with us our whole lives. But we know that you fulfill your promises. And you will come again. And you will make all things new. Father, give us that faith. Give us that confidence as we seek to follow you, as we seek to trust in you. We pray now, Father, as we respond and close out this service, may everything we do, everything we say, be to your glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.